You broke my heart, 'cause I couldn't dance.
It's more like a full body dry heave. Set the music.
You didn't even want me around.
You're crazy.
And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake them down.
Brilliant.
Do you love me?
As I was realizing prom was, you know, right around the corner, it suddenly dawned on me that, you know, often dancing and Christianity has, an uneasy relationship at times, at best. And I just decided, you know, before we go to the prom, why don't we explore this a little bit? Why don't we explore the Christian and dance and see if we can reconcile those two? Because there's some who feel that they aren't reconcilable at all. Now, my special guest tonight is Sir Terry Willis, who is joining us. And thank you so much for joining us tonight, sir.
Oh, it's my pleasure, my brother.
Now, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and your connection to dance, as you'll be tonight's expert on that.
Oh, okay. Well, I grew up in Detroit, so I kind of grew up dancing, but this girl suckered me to come to this Christian dance company because guys, they play football and martial arts, they didn't do that stuff. So I went, and we had a simple dance walk to do across the floor, and I looked more like Bruce Lee and Baryshnikov, but I stayed with it and eventually became the principal male dancer. But I learned like jazz, ballet, modern, and stuff like that, which when I was growing up, you just didn't do those things. But it gave me a foundation. It was a Christian company, and with that, I've got a chance to tell a whole lot of people about Jesus, probably live more than a million people, 37 countries, every state in the United States except Alaska and Hawaii.
Wow.
Sharing Christ through dance. So it's that's kind of a little bit of my background.
Okay, very cool. And, you know, I remember when we've had contact in the past that, you know, I knew you had some connection to dance, and I just figured, you know, when I was going to talk about this, I don't know anything about dance. I don't dance.
Uh-oh.
I have no rhythm whatsoever. And I wanted to bring in someone who has a little bit more of a connection to it, because I really want to kind of try and reconcile this whole idea of Christianity and dancing. Because there are some, you know, Christians who believe that Christians shouldn't dance, that it is, you know, not Christian to do. And that's what we want to discuss tonight. Can Christians dance? Well, we know the answer to that. No, they can't. But should they dance? That's really what we want to examine. Give me a call, 505-338-5790. What do you think? Should Christians dance? Should that be a part of our Christianity? Is there any reason why it might not be something that we want to be a part of our expression as Christians? Is there any reason why it should be a part of our expression as Christians? Give us a call, 505-338-5790, to dive in as we talk about Christians and dance. Now, Terry, let me ask you, did you ever have a point where you had to kind of reconcile this, where you had to say, okay, you know, dancing's fun, I enjoy it, I have a passion for it, but is it really okay for me to do as a Christian? Did you come to that point, and what was your resolution?
Wow, well, when I got involved in it, it was a Christian dance company, that helped. And they explained it that, you know, the church, they really invited dance in, like with the arts, because we have the best reason to dance. Psalms 149, Psalms 150 says, praise him in the dance. And Jewish people, if you've ever been to a celebration, there's no way you could have a celebration without someone throwing a little jig and just being excited about what the Lord has done. So I think dance is also along that format. And it seems when we organize things, it can get a little out of hand. Well, even when we did it with a Christian company, there were certain churches, old line traditional churches that wouldn't even allow us, even though we had a message of the gospel in it, but it says we don't want to see it because there's dance, because it's been tabooed. Mm-hmm. As one, automobiles were tabooed by the church, and radio was tabooed, and TV was tabooed, and, you know, ladies wearing makeup was tabooed, or certain hairstyles were tabooed. But I think dance can be a wonderful thing. And the way it originally designed, if I can go back just a little bit,
yeah,
was court dance. And that's how it was a point where people would get together. They didn't touch. They only touched hands, and it was dancing among the courts where the royalty danced, but they got a chance to interact with people. And then there's social dance, which really where a lot of the ballroom came from and jazz and all that, to where there was no touching, but just hands. But it was social dance. You would get a chance to know someone. Mm-hmm. And so can you get a chance to know someone better going to the movie or dancing with them? And the way it was originally set, it was a social setting where you could talk and where people were watching. There were chaperones there, and it was a really healthy way to interact. So, yeah, it's been really hard to really make a marriage of the two, because part of you say you can't, you know, the world says and the Christian world says you can't because it's not holy, but it's what are you doing it for? What's your motivation behind it? I can work any place and it's fine. Mm-hmm. I can drive any car and wear any clothes and it's usually fine. Mm-hmm. But dance or anything with the arts is almost a line. It has to be done for Christ or you can't do it at all.
Yeah. You know, I thought it was kind of interesting. I was doing a little research for tonight, and after the French Revolution, like in 1775 or, you know, around mm-hmm. that time of the French Revolution, when the waltz became popular, that caused a huge ruckus because with the waltz, you put your hand around someone's waist. And, yes. like, the church especially went nuts when the waltz came out. And, you know, and again, you know, after the French Revolution, it was kind of, you know, this was the cultured type of thing and, you know, the new fad, right. as it were, you know, for socializing or whatever. And just because of that one action of going around the waist, you know, the church went nuts. And it just seems over and over again, there's always something, there's always been a progression of a little bit more contact maybe with various types of dance. And the more that happens, you know, the church constantly, no, can't do that. And I don't know, I realized that as myself, I really didn't have a solid answer for the idea of, is it okay for Christians? I never thought it was bad,
right.
but I can never really say why it would be okay because when I look in our society today, it seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems there's a lot of association between dance and sex. There seems to be a lot of sensuality, a lot, you know, like with the Dancing with the Stars TV shows,
right.
you know, or So You Think You Can Dance TV,
right.
which is a show that I admit I enjoyed watching because they had different styles of dance and people from different backgrounds had to do stuff that they weren't uncomfortable with. And I thought that was kind of interesting. But, it, you know, a lot of the selling points for the show was, you know, how sexy it could be,
right.
you know, with the costumes and then with the movements and some of the suggestive stuff. And when I look at that, you know, I think, well, I don't know, should Christians endorse dance? I mean, what's your response to how a lot of people say, well, dancing is really kind of a sensual activity?
Wow, this is a double-edged sword because, again, yeah. jazz dancing really did start, even jazz music, it's supposed to represent the sensualness of it because it's very low and very methodic, and that's where a lot of that came from. So a lot of the roots were in there when it was created, but I would believe music was designed by God. I believe dance was designed by God. Christians, we've never been at the forefront of it. So because of that, we always let the world take it, and they pervert everything. Hmm. And I believe there's a wonderful way to dance. That you can dance and it's not perverted. I believe there's, you know, couples in there. There's nothing wrong with sex, just keeping it in the context of marriage.
Right.
And I believe also with dance is the same thing. It can be a wonderful thing for people to interact with if it's done well and done right. And I don't mean like, you know, like they got the dances out now where, you know, they're shaking it up and all that. You know, that's a little different because you're not there to talk with the girl. All you can get maybe is her name on the floor because the music is so loud.
Right.
But it can be a point to where is this a social thing? I was teaching dance at a studio here for a while, and there's been three couples from, you know, even from Calvary that were married just because they got a chance to interact. And they came and says, Terry, we would not have gotten married if this thing wasn't going on.
Hmm.
Because it gave them a chance to interact and have fun, and, you know, they were learning together something. And, yeah, and so, but the sensualness is there. It is a thin line with that. If a man has on a suit, he wants to look good. If a lady dresses up, she wants to look good. And it's not just being, you know, sensual with it, but if a lady is getting married on one day, she wants to look good. She wants the dress fitting right. She wants her hair done right. She wants to be appealing to her husband and appealing to whoever comes see. So I think there's a line that it can be done well and done right, and the woman stands in her role very feminine. The man stands in his role very masculine, and it's an interaction and a chemistry between them, but it doesn't have to be the sensual sexual that is there. But it should be – it's performance, though.
Right.
And so that's the thing about it. The world has taken it and bend it, and I think Christians, we should show it the way it should be done. And we have the best reason to dance because we're
yeah.
our salvation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like how you pointed that out, that very often, and you know, it's the same with music. A lot of the pop cultural trends, the church always seems to be behind in the trend, trying to catch up. And like, no, you're doing this wrong. And we're always trying to sanctify or redeem something.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that, you know, really the church should be the leading edge in that. And showing the world this is how it's supposed to be done, not trying to play catch-up all the time.
Yeah. Well, don't we have the best reason to dance?
Oh, absolutely.
The best reason to rejoice. And our rejoicing is biblical and it's right because the creator of the universe saved our soul. I don't think we get to heaven. It's going to be like, okay, everyone, just wave your hands and clap your hands. Okay, two claps, that's it. I think there's going to be some crazy dancing in heaven. And it doesn't matter if it's not – because some people say if it's choreographed, that's when it's wrong.
Hmm.
If it's systematic. I'm glad people drive their car systematic and stop at red lights. If not, it would be chaos. Why can't we dance the same way and still bring – if dance is even done right, far as even like some of the Latin in the ballroom, the lady feels very elegant. Because you go up and you say, excuse me, miss, would you like to dance? And you treat her the way she's never been treated before. All the dance should be chivalrous. You're thinking about her. And I equated it with Jesus. Jesus asked us, will you let me lead your life? And he takes us. And the people that lets him lead them, he can show them how to minister to thousands or to minister to someone that's hurting if they'll let Jesus lead. So when I talk about dance, I always really try to equate it with Christ in the church and his lead. And he asks us to dance and he wants to lead us. And I'm not trying to spiritualize it, but that way some people can understand it.
That's a good way to put it. Now, 505-338-5790, if you want to dive in, ask a question about dance. Hey, I like to dance. Is that okay as a Christian? Is it okay for me to like dancing? And what maybe are, you know, some of the lines that I should draw on dancing? We'll talk about that. But any questions you might have, an opinion, should Christians dance? Should Christians have their own type of prom and all that other type of stuff? Give us a call if you got a question or comment, 505-338-5790. Now, Terry, I don't know if you know a lot about this next question. If you don't, that's fine. But an observation that I've had, I was raised military. My dad was a chaplain in the Air Force. So I have a lot of exposure to all the various denominations. And I always thought it was kind of interesting how in what some would consider quote-unquote charismatic denominations, they very much embrace dance, you know. And during their services, sometimes they have interpretive dance, you know, during the worship and whatnot. And then you have the other side, and my dad was a Baptist pastor, so anyone who's Baptist, don't get offended by this. But, you know, then you have the Baptists who are very stoic and like, no, dancing, absolutely not. And, you know, on the charismatic side, it's almost they treat it as like another spiritual gift, you know, with tongues and prophecy and some of that other stuff. And then, you know, people get weirded out by that. Oh, not only do they speak tongues, but they also dance in their church. Yeah. And then, you know, there's a Baptist like, well, you know, order of worship. There's no dancing in the order of worship. I mean, where do you think some of these denominational lines and ideas have come when it comes to dancing? Why, well, with charismatics, where they really like to embrace movements of the spirit, they feel free to dance. And you know, with Baptists, and I'm not saying they're any less Christian,
right,
but, you know, with their very, they like things orderly and to have worship done in a respectful manner. And, you know, where do you think some of this, you know, some of these feelings have come in the various denominations when it comes to dance?
I really think it's the way we're brought up.
Hmm.
I really do. There was a gentleman, I mean, this is kind of off the line just a little bit, but I think it hit the nail on the head. There was a gentleman, I was in this church, and this lady, supposedly, I come from a black church, so black man, okay. But anyway.
That's all right. I've been there, and I love going to those churches.
And they're not quiet.
No, they are not.
I mean, they're saying, hey, you have the eight-man corner, you got Sister Myrtle in the front row with her handkerchief, and you got her doing a little jig, and then you think, wait a minute, you can't do that, that's wrong. But that's what they feel, and that's also the way we've been taught. I was in this church one time, and this minister said this. He said, it was a lady, and he was getting ready to preach. They were, they just got finished doing worship, and she was still, you know, talking and getting really loud, still singing. He says, mother, sit down. And he stopped her. He said, stop. What you're doing is learned. You've learned to do that, and you feel it's appropriate now, but I'm getting ready to teach the word, and that's wrong. So sit down and keep quiet. And I thought, wow.
Hmm.
And she was saying she was in the spirit. So sometimes these churches that say that, you know, praise dancing is the only way you can use it, and you can't use it any other way. And some churches say you can't use it at all. I think it's the way you've been learned, the way you've been taught.
Hmm.
Because I really think everything was created, and it was created pure, and it was created right. But the church hasn't got a hold of it. And I've seen where we did the show we did a show called Toymaker's Dream, and
right.
I was at the Olympics in Spain, and a family was coming through. I saw this black lady, and she said, hey, she kind of waved at me, and she's with her husband, and she's with two little boys and think nothing about it. At the end of the show, she came up. She says, can I get a picture with, you know, my grandkids, with you and everything? And it looked like she was familiar. And she said, why do you do this? And I got a chance to share why. Did I say, I do this so people come to know Jesus. And she said, can I introduce you to my husband? And she said, this is my husband, Mr. Jordan. It clicked. That was Michael Jordan's mom and dad. And those Michael Jordan's sons.
No way.
So because of dance, got a chance to share the gospel with them in different forms. So some people will say, well, it's not a place. But that gave opportunity I don't think would have ever happened. I'm not saying I led them to Christ because it seemed like they already knew. But I was sharing with them and kind of, you know, testing the waters to see. Right. And, you know, that wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't have been there. And this was in Olympic Village with the athletes and the trainers. And it wouldn't have occurred if we just went there with the gospel.
Right.
So dance can be a powerful tool, but I think it's still the way you've learned. So
I think that may be right. You know, we didn't actually do a lot of dancing when I was growing up in my church environment. And then, you know, when I started going to the church where my wife goes to church, I noticed that they like to dance. And sometimes it's, you know, like the interpretive dance. Other times it was kind of like, you know, the hop up and down in between the pews because we don't have a lot of room to do anything else.
Yeah.
And you shake the feet and that's about all you can do. And no offense, anyone. I always had a hard time really calling that dance, you know, where you hop up and down on one foot. But, you know, they're moving.
And so
I believe the spirit is moving in their hearts, but I'm not saying that he's, some people say he's choreographing the dance. My kids do that.
Mm-hmm.
When they get happy, I give them their drinky in the morning with apple juice and half water. They get excited. They do a little jig. And me and my wife will say, work it out, work it out. And they dance.
That's cool. I need to teach my, well, actually my girls like to twirl, you know, when they have a pretty dress. Yeah. And they have a lot of fun doing that as well. Well, now let me ask you, how do you think dance, I mean, you already gave an example, but talk a little bit about a little more about how dance can minister, you know, the truth of God to people. Because, you know, there's some people who would say, you know, you pass out tracts, you speak the gospel, you give your testimony. Dance doesn't have any part in, you know, relaying the truth of God's word.
Oh, well, I can. I love to swing dance. And that's something like out of the 50s, if people have ever seen it. And I've been overseas in different countries and started to swing dance in the streets. Just swing dance with someone that knew how. People would come up. That was an opportunity to draw them in. And you can use anything. But some people believe that dance can't be a part of the gospel because it's not, well, what about wearing T-shirts? What about driving your car? What about talking to the cashier? I think if we can use anything, if our reason for doing it is right before God. And dance, for me, I got a chance to share the gospel, you know, with over 1 million people. And that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't through dance and the arts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we went to China. We went to one of the craziest places we went to Cuba. And the Christians there cried. They says, how can you come to our country on our national stage, present the gospel, and we do it, we could be put in jail? I said, well, Castro allowed us to come. He saw the show and saw what the show, and we didn't change the message. And we went to China, and we didn't change the message. So it opened a lot of doors because it's entertaining. And we love entertainment as people. I love my kids to play with toys and be entertained. But it's wonderful when it can be done and it can point people back to heaven. And that's the only way. Dance for me, I've been doing it for over 20 years. So that's the only way I've known it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. I mean, I love the fact that you can use the gospel. And that it can be something that can minister to people as well. I mean, I think that's awesome that we can do it, but a lot of people won't see it that. Now, let me ask you about this.
Okay.
All right, because this is where a lot of, you know, parents who are listening,
right,
this is really where they're going to be curious. Okay, what about things like a Christian prom, like the quote-unquote alternative dance idea? Now, I've come across some youth leaders who say, you know, that's really just imitating the world. You're just trying to give the kids another excuse to go out and party. It's really not all that different, except maybe you're playing Christian music, but the kids are still going to do all the same moves, and that's just going to cause trouble. So why even give them a place where they can be tempted? Why introduce something like a prom, an alternative dance, whatever, to Christian teenagers? I mean, how do you feel about the idea of setting up environments for teenagers specifically, you know, not grown adults who are married, but teenagers to go out and dance?
Well, I still think it can be, if it's watched, it can still be a good, wonderful social event where people interact. And the dances don't, it matters what music is played. It really does. And the lyrics, you know, we imitate our parents driving a car. We imitate our parents, you know, they pay the bills and they take care of stuff. And children look on, they want to imitate what they see, but we need to give them a better environment so it's not just the world. So it matters what you play. It really does. And I know I got kids, so I know it's going to come a day where my kids going to want to go to the prom. It may be a Christian prom, it may be a secular prom. I don't know. It matters what school they're in. They think, well, Dad, I want to go. I'll give them some guidelines. Certain dances I just won't allow them to do. Like, they got, you know, certain dances, like, a guy's not going to get up on my daughter like that. and my son's not going to get up on a girl like that. But, you know, it socially, it's what's happening around us. But I just think Christians, we just have to have a deeper compass.
505-338-5790, if you got a question or opinion, especially about this idea of, you know, like teenagers going to a prom. Is that really okay for Christians to do?
I'm not coming back in July.
Do we want to encourage our teenagers to go to a dance and in a situation where they could be tempted? If you got an opinion about that, let us know. 505-338-5790. Should Christians dance is what we're examining tonight. So if you got something that you'd like to say about that, We'd love to hear about it. Now, let me ask you, you know, you just mentioned your kids, you know, going to dance. There's certain kinds of dances that you wouldn't let them do and things of that nature. What would you give for teenagers and maybe even for parents as guidelines, as like, you know, here's where you should draw the line. Here's some stuff that you can avoid. Here's some stuff to encourage.
Wow. Gosh.
Well, you are a parent, so you should start thinking about this.
No. It's not that I haven't thought about it. It's just a lot of the close, where they're just they're bumping and all that, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
That would be some of it. But, you know, anyone I've seen that learn ballroom dance, when they get a chance to, like, the Latin stuff and swing, they almost enjoy it and they're having fun the whole time, where the other one is trying to imitate
Stuff that should wait.
Yeah. Stuff that should wait. You know, it's like, you know, and some of the dancers out there, you know, I don't know if I would dance with anyone like that, but gosh, I know what you're asking. I want to answer this very tactfully. I think parents should be involved with what their kids learn. And if they would teach them, to dance, you know, I love swing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I've seen you swing dance and you're very good at it.
Thank you. I mean, and it's fun. It's not even Latin. Latin is very passionate, but it's not sensual. It's where the man is the man, the woman is the woman. It can be very cool and it's very fun. As a parent, I just would be there to watch my kids to make sure that I'm guiding them and also letting them see mom and dad dance. I want to give them, this is what you can look forward to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way it can be done. And this is the way you can enjoy it. I just want to let the world always, tell my kids what to do, because the current is always going to be out there. What to watch on TV, what movies to go see. And I want to make sure I'm giving them a different environment at home. So hopefully I answered your question. I hope I didn't skip around on that.
Now, what do you think about some of these recent movies? There's been a lot of movies that focused on dance recently.
Right.
You know, like, what was it, Step Up or Step Down? I don't remember. Step Something.
Uh-huh.
And
Take the Lead.
Yeah. And what do you think about how those types of movies portray dance? Positive, negative?
Well,
you know, do you like how? Because this has been kind of a cultural phenomenon recently,
right,
what with the TV shows, and then you know, these movies coming out. There seems to be a lot of excitement in our culture about dance again. That's been kind of missing since the age of the, you know, Hollywood musical. You know, you haven't really,
right,
seen a lot of dance being a part of the culture until recently. I mean, what's your reaction to that as someone who, you know, loves dance?
Wow. I'm kind of glad there's been a surge of it, because it shows the elegance of it. What we're seeing now with some of the movies like Take the Lead, and even some of the things you can do, like with stepping, and it shows the heart, because you can go to school now and get an education in dance and you can major in it. So it shows the validation along that's there. But I'm glad that it's being brought up in the right respects, because it can be something that can be fun and something that you love to do. I mean, you can play golf and football, and they won't know you're a Christian unless they stop and ask you. Because if I'm on the football field and I'm playing the defensive, I'm going after the guys. You won't know I'm a Christian until after. I want to play fair, but I'm going to do my job. And I believe it can be the same thing in dance. I went to see Cats when I was in New York, and one of the lead dancers was a Christian. And she said, "I give all honor and glory to Jesus Christ." This is in her bio in the program, the Cats program. And yet her role was a cat. It was a female cat. And it was very sensuous and very, but that was the role and that's what she did and that was her job. But in her biography, she lets you know where she stood. And I respect that, because if you want to do it in a professional field, sometimes you may be asked to do things. And then it wasn't over the top,
mm-hmm,
but it was in light of the production she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to do it. And I got a chance to meet people that, you know, Christian. And, you know, sometimes you say, well, how can you do that? But it's their career. But some things I think you need to draw a line. It was like, I will not do that. I will not do this. And hopefully I answered your question again.
No, oh, yeah. 505-338-5790. Audra, I know we had a couple problems trying to get you on the air. If you want to call back, we'll get you on. I think we got our technical glitches worked out. So give us a call, 505-338-5790. If you got a question or opinion about this, especially when it comes to teenagers dancing or going to a prom, or should Christians dance at all? What role does dance play in the life of a Christian? Give us a call, 505-338-5790. Now, a lot of people who are pro-dance go, of course, to 2 Samuel, where you have David dancing,
right,
through the streets, basically in his underwear.
Right.
And, you know, the pro crowd would say, see, the Spirit took him, and yeah, it was probably a little immodest, but that was okay because he was dancing for the Lord, and that's all that mattered. And then, you know, the anti crowd would be like, well, yeah, but that was just like a one-time thing. You don't see that a lot. You don't see anywhere in the Bible where it tells us to go out and dance in our underwear. And you know, where do you come down on this whole idea of how David danced for the Lord? I mean, I'm sure you've talk about it and read it, and, you know, what's your take on that?
Well, I believe he rejoiced in God because of the victory, you know, and again, that, you know, again, the things of God were back in Jerusalem and all that. And that's what he was rejoicing for. And maybe, you know, he got a little excited.
little.
I mean, a little excited. I mean, my kids sometimes, they get excited, they run through the house, and I'm like, where did that come from? He's just lost his mind. You know, and I just think David just rejoiced, but he was doing it with his whole heart. And I don't, because some people says, we need to be biblical, and David did it, so we need to do it. So I want to say to them, I'm thinking, so when's the last time you danced your underwear out in public? So you haven't done it, so don't get overbalanced with the thing. But David did it just as a point of rejoicing. Mm. And he just wanted to show, just he wanted to have no restraints on. So I think that's what he was doing along that line. I wouldn't say to do it, because if you do it, they're going to arrest you.
That's very true. But, you know, and I like his response, you know, because his wife got upset about
Michael
it.
Michael did, yeah.
And, you know, whoa, look at you. I'm sure all the handmaidens were happy to see that. And, you know, his response, hey, you know, I'll be even more undignified than this. For, you know, the glory of my God. And, you know, a lot of people see I can do whatever I want as long as it's to the glory of God.
Well, I just think David did it from his heart. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people do it for show. It's hard. As much as I love dance, a lot of times I meet dancers, they're very egotistic. It's all about them and they want to show what they know. Mm-hmm. David was just, he wasn't trying to show, he was just trying to show his rejoicing in the Lord. And so dancing and singing is the same thing. Some people sing to be heard and to show how good they are. And some people, you know, sing because they want to share, you know, what they're feeling inside. And it's almost what they share is what we feel. Certain songs I hear, it's like, man, that's exactly how I feel with you, Lord. Or even some old, from Motown, there's some Motown songs that I love. Mm. And it frames up a time in my life exactly what I was feeling. So I think dance can do the same, but I wouldn't use what David did to make it all right across the board. Or Psalms 150, you know, 149 and 150, you know, says praise the Lord in the dance, so I can do whatever dance I want. I'm not saying that either. But there's a lot of cool dances out there that culturally people do. You know, if you grew up in Cuba, if you grew up in Puerto Rico, you grew up dancing. I grew up in my family. Every time we had a get-together, we always had a Soul Train line.
Cool.
After church on Sunday, we just had church. They could throw some music on, got some Stevie Wonder playing. We got a Soul Train line. I got grandma going down the Soul Train line, which is very funny to see an old lady dance. But that's just what we did. That was our household thing we did. Mm-hmm. And some people says, well, Christians shouldn't dance. It's like, you should have saw my grandmother. She was getting it up. She was cutting it down.
That's cool. We have Aaron on the line. Aaron, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say about this whole topic of dance? You all right there, Aaron? Aaron.
Hello,
Aaron. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Good. What do you have to say about this whole topic of dance?
You know, I don't know. I think it's kind of ridiculous. You posed the question that should Christians dance at all? I don't know. That seems kind of ridiculous to me, you know?
Uh-huh.
That kind of thing, that prom, it's a social interaction, you know? And social interaction, it's a positive thing. Anything leads to temptation, you know what I'm saying? Going to school can lead to temptation, you know? Should Christians not go to school?
Mm-hmm.
I think that that social interaction is a positive thing, and to try and ban it because it can lead to temptation is ridiculous.
And now, on the flip side, since you're for it, what sort of guidelines would you say are important to know when you might be crossing a line so that you can enjoy dance but at the same time not stumble?
Well, of course, there's different types of dance. I know bump and grind it doesn't really constitute positive dance. You know, there's so much different stuff. But, you know, setting up a community like that so where you can have a Christian prom like you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
that gives positive, you know, it gives a positive atmosphere for teenagers to hang out at, it's a good thing. You know, it puts out a good message. There's good lyrics, you know, that it's not ridiculous. I mean, some kids, you know, it depends on what kind of dance you're into, I guess. Some kids are going to bump and grind, but I think it's ridiculous to say that it should be banned because you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much for calling in, Aaron. I really appreciate your opinion, and I'm glad we could finally get some phone calls done.
Cool, man. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot, Aaron. You have a great night. All right, next up we have Tanya on the line. Tanya, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say? Did I say that right? Tanya? Well, what do you have to say about dance?
Well, basically,
I think we just lost you. Are you there?
No, I'm here.
Okay, you're fading out there just a second. Go ahead.
And a Latin dance group.
We're losing your cell phone. Give us a call back if you can get a stronger signal, all right? Next up, we have Rebecca on the line. Rebecca, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say?
Well, I have to say that I think that you can dance as long as you glorify God. And it has to be Christian, and if it's dirty, then I don't think you should do it.
Well, let me ask you this, and then I'm going to ask you, Terry. You've kind of talked about this already, but how can you glorify God with dance?
Well, I think that if you, I don't know, like my friends, they do hula and they glorify God by they dance in hula and they show how like they dance, showing how they would glorify God to a song.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's how you could dance. I mean, I think that you could dance like even hip hop to a Christian song. And I think you could do any dance to a Christian song as long and. I don't know.
Okay, well, no, that's a good answer, Rebecca. Thanks so much for calling in tonight. I really appreciate your bringing that up. Terry, let me ask you, how can we glorify God with dance? And I know you've kind of touched on it a little bit, but, you know, recapitulate.
Okay, well, whatever we do it to the glory of God. And if I was playing football or skateboarding or playing basketball, I would be doing it to the glory of God if I was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't know I was a Christian unless you did an interview with me. But certain dance can be that way. The first time I got involved in dance, my pastor told me, well, I was still back in actually high school, said God can't use dance.
Really?
He told me that. He was, you know, online traditional church. The assistant pastor came to me and says, I said, I'm an athlete. I said, you know, gave the same examples. If I played basketball and football, I was very athletic. You wouldn't know I was a Christian unless you did an interview with me. I would play clean, but if I was doing my job for defense or going after the ball or going in the hole or, you know, blocking or whatever, I would do my job well. But sometimes when I want to dance, like me personally, like, you know, like I said, I always have to be Christian music. I don't believe that. If I'm going to dance swing, throw some Elvis Presley on. There's some Christian music out there to swing. It is not good as Elvis Presley. Little Richard, I mean, I love that stuff, and that's incredible for swing. And for Latin, I mean, this music says, well, you need to put on, you know, some Latin Christians. Like, tell me about some Latin Christian you can dance to. So we don't drive Christian cars. We don't wear Christian jeans and Christian gym shoes. Name a Christian gym shoe that's out there.
Don't they have one? I thought I saw something like there's Scripps, I think is what they're called, or something like
okay.
that.
Well, it's probably a new one.
Yeah, it is a new one.
Okay.
Like I just saw like in passing.
But when I was growing up, it was Converse All-Stars, NBA, you know.
Nikes. Yeah.
So, but you want a good shoe. So why, just I think when it comes to the arts, it's always a line. And yeah. I just think it needs to, I think Christians can dance. I don't think everything has to be Christian.
Hmm.
Because if it is, the only people that sin is Christians. And even the storyline I was with, all of our songs were done by Christians that you would know in the industry. The songs, the entire show was about Christ. But every song, every other word wasn't Jesus. But if you saw the storyline and you saw it from front to back, you would see the gospel in it. Because sometimes you're talking about the crucifixion, you're talking about the crucifixion. It's a song about the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a whole lot. It gives God the greatest glory, really, but it's talking about his pain and his suffering. And I just think as Christians, sometimes we're a little too hard. And I've had too many people, well, God can't use you, and I love acting. You can't, unless you're doing Christian acting, you're doing Christian dance, you're doing Christian music, you can't use the arts for God. And yet they work secular jobs.
Hmm. That's a good point. And we're going to come back to that here in just a bit. We have Clara on the line. Clara, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say about this idea of Christians and dancing?
Well, personally, I think that, like, because I'm a singer, so when I'm up on stage, you know, I just love dancing. And I just think that, you know, If you're doing it to a Christian song, like, I'll be jamming out in my car to, like, Super Chick, you know, it'll be, like, One Girl Revolution, you know. I love that song. And I just think that, as you guys have been saying, it is how and why you are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, if you're doing it to the glory of God, and if you're, you know, to an extent, it's what kind of music you're listening to. Because, I mean, if you're listening to, like, Eminem or if you're listening to, you know, Fergie, I think that you're not going to be dancing to the glory of God because you're not listening to a song that, per se, glorifies God,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right. Yeah, that's an excellent point, and I appreciate you calling in, Clara. And what kind of music do you like to sing? What kind of music do you like to dance to?
Well, I have to admit that I have danced to Fergie, and I have danced to
because of good,
other things,
yeah.
you know. I have to admit that. But, I sing worship and velocity, and you know, if I'm up there, you know, I'll be swinging to the music, you know, to worship music a lot. But I have to admit that I have danced to that kind of stuff.
You're dancing with your culture. Every generation has danced with their culture. I understand that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was hilarious, Clara. Thank you so much for making me laugh. That
You're
was
welcome.
Awesome. You have a great night.
Thank
okay?
you for your honesty,
you
girl.
Too.
Yes, thank you for your honesty. That was great. Now, if you got something that you'd like to add, you know, be sure to give us a call. You know, I kind of wonder if I don't do Raw Talks well sometimes because – you know, everyone calls in and they agree, and no one says you have to agree. If you think Christian, you know, dancing is a bad thing,
by all means, you know, call in and share your opinion. That's what we're here to do. We're here to talk. Yeah. No one's here to tell you this is right, this is wrong. That's not why I do Raw Talk. That's not why I wanted to do Raw Talk. What I wanted to do is have an honest discussion about it. So, you know, if you think that Christians shouldn't dance, that it shouldn't be a part of a Christian life, please let us know your opinion on that, and we'd love to hear it. And we're not going to shut you down and say, psh, get out of here, you're crazy. We want to discuss these things openly and honestly, just like we did with Clara there. Yeah. So give us a call, 505-338-5790. And speaking of, you know, this idea of, okay, you know, maybe it shouldn't be such a good idea for Christians to dance. Now, you're talking about, you know, dancing to secular music, and it doesn't always have to be Christian, and that's not necessary. And, you know, people work secular jobs, and absolutely, you know, that was a great analogy. But, you know, here's my question, because often when we talk about a topic like this, dance, or, you know, the non-essentials,
right,
often it ends up back at Romans 14, you know, where it talks about, you know, making sure that we don't cause someone else to stumble. And, you know, the very idea that perhaps you're dancing to music that isn't Christian could cause someone to stumble, well, what do you do then? You know, how do we resolve the idea that we don't want to cause people to stumble? We don't want people to look at us as Christians and say, ah, they're no different than anybody else. You know, they say they're, you know, holy and that they have, you know, a higher set of morals and principles and stuff, and yet they go out and dance, and they dance to the same music that I do, and they use some of the same moves that I do. You know, I mean, how do we bridge that gap of not causing other people to stumble?
Well, that's a good question. If I can start it off, you know, you can't do anything without causing someone to stumble. Driving here, I had someone cut me off. They came to the Josh McDowell thing this half night, cut me off three times. I'm thinking, like, they're causing me to stumble. They're driving. But purposely, I think what it was saying is, don't do something purposely knowing that it's going to cause people to stumble. But if we did that, we wouldn't do anything. I would never leave the house. I wore braids for a long time. And
I
people
remember.
Said, yeah. I had certain churches that said, well, we don't allow people with braids to come in our church. And I have two earrings in my left ear. Oh, he's got earrings. You know, I've been serving in the ministry, you know, for almost 20 years, and certain people said that that's what caused them to stumble. I'm not going to take my earrings out or change my braids or change my look. I didn't do it to be different. I did it because I liked it. It was part of a cultural thing, and, you know, and but is this a fine line? What is your reason for doing it from the heart? Is it, if it's causing someone to stumble, I'll pull away. But if I enjoy it, I mean, someone says, well, I don't, it's causing me to stumble because you play basketball. And it's like, well, I love basketball, but you play basketball, and it caused him to stumble, so stop. Like, no, I got a scholarship to a university. I am going unless you're going to pay my way. I just think it's wisdom, it's prayer, and we'll find a clear discernment if what we need to do to stop because it's causing someone to stumble. Because if that, someone could say anything,
mm-hmm.
and it could be why. But let me ask you a question, yo.
Yeah.
Elvis Presley had a Grammy. Do you know what it was for?
It was for one of his gospel albums, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And people, that's what he really wanted to sing gospel, but the church really didn't embrace him. But so a lot of people don't know Elvis Presley's only Grammy mainly was for gospel.
Yeah, and I actually knew that. Thank
that
you
was
very
a good
much.
Question.
Yeah, it was a good question. And actually, you know, sometime this year I do want to do a whole show about Elvis and then kind of talk about that whole idea of, you know, how does someone start with gospel and end up the way that they did. And that'll be a cool show. We're going to talk Elvis and then, you know, music and Christianity as well. And I'm glad you brought that up because it reminded me I need to prepare for that. Bryn is on the line. Bryn, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say?
Hey, well, I was just saying and thinking about this. If you are dancing, and just imagine this.
Okay.
You're dancing and Jesus was right there in front of you and watching you. Would you be proud of what you were dancing?
Are you asking me personally, or is this just like a question that people should consider when they dance?
Yeah, I think that's the way you should dance. If you're
okay.
having fun, but if you don't see Jesus looking at you, and I'm proud of my son doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
You know, and actually, that brings up something that I thought was really good advice that I received actually from Jason Illion, who I had on the show not too long ago. You know, one of the things that he brought up, and now that I think about, thank you, Bryn, for bringing this to mind. You know, when you're dancing with someone else, or in any situation with someone else. If you're doing something where if you were to meet that person's future spouse, like you don't end up marrying that person, and later on you meet their future spouse and you're uncomfortable sitting next to them because of some of the things that you did with that person before they met their spouse, it's probably not something that you could do. And when Jason Illion told me that, I was like, man, I wish I would have gotten that advice a long time ago because there are some people who, you know, I'd be uncomfortable if I were to meet their person that they eventually married, and, you know, and it wasn't me. And like, hey, yeah, sorry, I knew your wife, you know, back in the day, and yeah, I'm gonna, yeah, nice scene. You know, I mean, there are some people that would be uncomfortable. And so, you know, that's good advice, Bryn. If you're going to do anything that might make you feel uncomfortable, if you found out that, you know, they were going to marry someone else or they came there with someone else, although you probably shouldn't be dancing with them if they came with someone else. But
yeah. Well, can I share some? I mean,
yeah.
The dance thing is a lot broader than that. I mean, I know what we're saying is like we're talking about churches. That, you know, every church has to preach the word a certain way, and their order of service has to be a certain way. And if we nailed it, it has to be this way, and all the other ones wrong. That's what's divided the church.
Right.
But I've been in dance classes. I don't know if I mean I'm 6'2". I'm about 240 pounds. I've always been about 220. And when I was in dance class, I was the biggest thing in there. And I had to lift girls. And most of the girls are in, you know, in unitards. And some people in, you know, in tights, it could be a comfortable, uncomfortable environment. But that's the environment that I was in. I mean, it's when you swim, you wear swim trunks. But, and I mean, and I'm holding the girl by her waist and to do a lift. And I, you know, so I understand what you're saying, but I don't know if you can sweep it that broad. Mm. Because some of the ways, I mean, and the moms are there. I'm dancing with some girls, and their moms are in there, their dads are in there, and no one's got offended by it. So I don't want to take this thing and brush it too broad. But, yeah, if you're doing social dancing, yeah, some of the things in social dancing are that way. But I've taught couples where I've dipped a man's wife, and I'm teaching them how to dip. And I'm showing them how to put his hand and hold, and it's like, man, this is going to be cool. So on their wedding date, they got a chance to dance and dip his wife, and yet I dipped his wife first. So I think it's the context is in instead of make a broad brush stroke, but I think we can do things right and still do it to give God glory. That's just the point I want to make about dance.
No, that's a good point. Bryn, thanks so much for calling in tonight,
yeah,
man.
Thank you, my brother.
You have a great night. All right. Next up, we have Mia. I think that's what it says on there. My screen's a little blurry. Hey, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hey. I don't know. I was just thinking about it, and I was thinking at a dance like your prom, for example, to allow dance, but limited it to, like, the worm and, like, the robot or something, which is a dance that, like, everybody can do.
So wait. You want us at the M88 prom to only allow people to do the worm?
Old school stuff.
Is what you're encouraging. Is that right?
And robot.
Okay. The worm and the robot. That's all we can do when we go to the M88 prom this Friday night.
Yeah, and I have a because.
3% of people will be dancing, okay?
Are inappropriate. Yeah. Both of them are a lot of fun. This is the top of the cake.
Right. Well, that's...
Or whatever.
You know, I want to share some, and I mean, again, there's some Christians out there. Some of the dances that are done today, I've seen them do them with distance. And they did them well. They did them just as well as the secular world could do it, and they weren't close. And every generation... When the twist came out, when swing came out with Christians, it was taboo.
Mm.
So I know every generation bends the rules a little bit more, clothes change a little bit more, but it doesn't have to be. I still think you can do some of the things of your generation.
Now, Mia, is the robot of your generation, or is this something that you picked up from watching like old American Bandstand clips?
I don't think my generation invented it. No.
Can you do the robot?
But think about it.
Okay.
Imagine your M88 prom.
Uh-huh.
Only people doing the worm and the robot. Like, that would look amazing.
I have to admit, it would be quite the sight to see.
Yeah.
And you can pretty much guarantee we wouldn't have a whole lot of other problems because people would be pretty occupied. So thanks for that.
If you want to throw a chicken dance in so everybody can dance together...
You're incredible.
Yeah, you got this all planned out. You know, next year we're going to need you on the dance committee for the M88 prom.
It's a good plan.
I think you're right, Mia. Thanks so much for calling in tonight, all right?
See you Friday night.
Okay, we will be there. And
watching you do the worm.
Yeah, I may even try the worm myself. Thanks a lot, Mia.
Bye.
Bye. Next up, we have John on the line. John, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
I just wanted to kind of, in regards to, like, overall, you know, talking about the church,
sure,
and how we should be in culture and stuff like that. I think it's important for young people to think, or anybody really, but most, I mean, we're talking young people tonight. I think it's really one of those things to look at obedience, because, you know, so much we hear like about young people being kind of doors open up in very limited routes of ministry, like ministry, doing concerts or doing whatever. But, you know, with all the different things in the world, from film to, you know, all the different things that people could be doing to influence this culture, I think it's almost like dangerous for us to, as the church, not fund these young people to go out into the world and kind of experience filmmaking or you know, producing secular albums that, you know, might not necessarily be talking about Jesus, but that are good quality albums that would give them a platform into a community that is basically turned off by the church because of the fact that we're judging them versus just loving them and being around them. And I think that's really limited a lot of young people to get involved with their culture because of the fact that we're so we're set apart, you know what I'm saying, from being able to get out there or being even encouraged from within the four walls of the church to get out into the community, which, you know, basically just seems like ignorance. Like, it's like, we don't know about it, so let's not encourage our young people to go out there and be a testimony and be a light in those cultures.
Well, John, you're hitting the nail on the head. I mean, my background is in film, too. I mean, some things I've directed, and I've been about 18 feature films here in New Mexico and even commercials. But Christians, I've been some Christian films and secular, too. And if we don't attack our culture, we let our culture influence us, and we should be in our culture influencing. And that's what Jesus came to do. He influenced his culture, and I think we need to be out there in the arts. The arts affect us more than anything else. And if we don't influence and let God be glorified in it, I think we've missed it. So I agree with you, my brother. Very good.
Well, you know, and, you know, with what John just said, I can honestly say that I, looking back, I know there are some opportunities that I didn't necessarily miss, but I didn't have because I didn't know how to dance. You know, there were opportunities, inroads that I could have had if I knew how to dance, and because I really have no rhythm whatsoever, you know, those were opportunities that I could never have. And you know, John makes a good point, you know, in equipping ourselves to go out into the world and share the gospel. We talk a lot about Bible study, very important, knowing scripture, knowing your testimony, 3-point sermons, tracts, all that type of stuff. But, you know, John makes a good point. Also, we got to be able to relate to people.
Yeah.
And you know, we can either leave that up for the world to teach us how to relate to people socially. Hey, we'll show you how to dance, and then next thing you know, you're in trouble. Or you can have the church say, well, here's some dance that you can do that, you know, won't get you in trouble, but will help cross those bridges, which is kind of what you've done, right, Terry?
Right.
All right. Well, John, thanks so much for calling in tonight, man.
Got it, man. Thanks a lot.
You bet. It's been a good time, man. I really enjoy talking about this stuff. Terry, we got about 10 minutes left. What are some closing thoughts that you'd like to share with people about this idea of Christians and dancing? You know, someone who's maybe still a little uncomfortable with this idea. You know, they're not against Christians and dancing, but they're just not sure, you know, well, I don't know. It seems like we're walking the line. How would you encourage people to view this whole idea of Christians and dancing in a way that, you know, maybe they're not judging others, maybe they might find something new that they can express themselves in? You know, what are some of your closing thoughts?
Well, I believe you can sanctify anything, and I don't believe everything you do has to be sanctified. And what I mean by that, I just drive my car. But I'm trying to be a witness as I drive my car. So I think with dance, it's just been, I think it'll be a taboo till Jesus comes, because dance is going to constantly change, and each culture is going to try to embrace the music of their culture and the movement of their culture. But I believe as Christians, if we take it, like we with technology, with computers, we operate in that, but we can make sure we do it well and do it right, and yet God can be pleased. Because again, people always say, well, would you do it if Jesus was there? Well, I don't know if I would watch commercials if Jesus was there. You know, I mean, you know, I mean, I wouldn't want Jesus to go to the restroom with me. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, things along that line. People make that broad stroke, mm-hmm. and they throw the baby out with the bathwater. But what I would say is, do it for the glory of God. Lord, I want to use the talents you've given me, and I want you to be pleased with the way I handle them, the way I utilize them, and the things I do with them. And, you know, a lot of people don't get a chance to work for Christian companies, but yet they can operate as a Christian. A lot of times people are, you know, like dance, and every song may not be a Christian song, but they can still glorify God in it. I mean, I think that they do it from the heart. So, I mean, I love secular music. I mean, when I say that, I mean like Elvis Presley and things along that line, and I know what happens in the culture. And sometimes you need different music to dance to. Mm-hmm. So I would say, do it to the glory of God. Make sure your point of doing it is not just to, you know, draw in sensuality if the dance has some of that in it. Stay away from that as much as possible. But let it be something that God can say, you know, you handle it well, you gave an opportunity to share about me, and people can see you're still a witness.
Now, just real quick, you know, we've kind of touched on this here and there, but what about people are like, oh, okay, fine, biblically, is it okay to dance? How would you respond to the question like, this is not something I'm going to do unless I can see in Scripture it says it's okay for me to do?
Well, I mean, for me, it's athletic. I mean, is it biblical to play sports? Mm. You're going after someone, and I mean, football team is almost I mean, you got almost anger towards the other team. I'm going to stop this guy, whatever it takes. So, I mean, I would argue the point there. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with dance. I mean, and it doesn't have to be just in the confines of the church. I just have over a million people I've shared the gospel with, and I could say probably over 100,000, I could produce cards that have accepted Christ through dance, and we did it in that format. I believe it can be done to give God glory. And, you know, it says, what's the biblical reference for it? Show me a biblical reference not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that.
Right. And preparing for this tonight, you know, I went through and did a lot of studying on what the Bible had to say to dance. I didn't see anything in there that said, you know, avoid dancing. Like you pointed out, you know, in the Psalms, there's a lot of stuff, you know, about rejoicing and dance. And there was David who danced. And throughout the Old Testament, you know, it was often just a way of celebrating and rejoicing.
I think that's what it should be. And that's what our culture, I mean, in our culture, kids, when they hear Fergie or whatever, they're just really celebrating the things of their culture. And some of that stuff is kind of out there, but Elvis Presley was the same in his culture. He was tabooed.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think we just need to back up a little bit, because there will be dance in heaven. I can't prove it. When we get there, I guarantee it'll happen. But every song we sing, I know jingles on the radio and jingles on TV. It is not Christian, but I heard that commercial so much is in my head and I sing it. Can it be the same thing that sometimes we do things and it's not necessarily blatantly to the glory of God, but it's nothing wrong with it? And I don't think dance, I just really think, has got a bad rap.
It's like saying all things are permissible, but not all things are not beneficial, like Paul pointed out. You know, it's like, hey, there's nothing wrong with that commercial jingle. It's just not necessarily going to be the most beneficial thing for you.
I mean, that may be broad stroke even in saying that, but yeah, I agree.
Okay. All right. Well, Terry, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And if someone wants to get in touch with you and talk more about this or learn more about your ministry through dance and things of that nature, how would they get in touch with you? What's a good way for them to...
Probably the best thing, I'll leave my email.
Okay.
Sir Terry Willis, SirTerryWillis at hotmail.com. And if you're interested in film, dance, music, that's what I do. And I believe it can be done for the glory of God. And if it's done well and done right.
Okay. Well, there you go. If you want to find out more about, you know, Terry, how he's ministered to people through dance, and you'd like to discuss that more with him, then that's certainly a way to do it. Now, of course, the reason that we brought all this up was because we have the M80 prom coming up this Friday. And, you know, just in case my supervisors might be listening, I am in no way trying to cast any sort of dispersion over the prom. I think it's a great idea. I love going to the prom every year. But I just wanted to sort of illuminate through this discussion tonight why it is M88 decides to do a prom every year. We want to give a place that's an alternative to everything else that prom represents this time of year. I mean, think of how many things are associated with the prom. Losing your virginity for the first time, or, you know, this is the time you go all the way finally, or, you know, I mean, there's a lot of sensuality and bad stuff associated with the prom. So why do we do a prom? Because, like we've been talking tonight, we want to do it to the glory of God and go out and dance and have fun. And, you know, I think it's going to be a great time. It always is. And that's the reason we do the prom. Not because, you know, we want to copy the world. You know, we're not trying to be cool like them at all. And if anything, we want to show the world how a real party goes down.
Exactly.
A party with no regrets. A party where you don't have to wake up the next morning and wonder what you did. A party where you're not worried about if you destroyed a life and you're not even aware of it until, you know, later on down the road. You know, this is a place where we can glorify God and have a great time. And you know what? If you're uncomfortable with dancing, you don't have to dance. You know, honestly, one of my favorite parts of the prom, And this is something that we talked about, you know, with dance, is just the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just being there with people, whether they dance or they don't dance, just hanging out with people in an environment where we can chat, have fun, have a good time. And I liked how at the beginning of the show you talked about, you know, well, you could go to a movie or you could dance with someone. Which way do you think you're going to get to know them better? And you know, it's true. You don't really talk to people a whole lot in a movie. That's why we don't do an M88 movie night, because we can't really fellowship that way. So, if you're concerned about the M88 prom, what's going to go on there, I can tell you this. It's going to be a way that we can glorify God. We're going to have fun. There will be dancing. There will be people watching. Just to make sure everything is, you know, shway. We've done some swing dance. I remember you were at the prom one year and you did some swing dancing.
Yeah.
That was really, really cool. Made me want to dance. And I tried and I almost fell off the stage. And so I haven't tried since. So, you know, we do some of that, you know. But again, like you said, we try to keep it all for the glory of God. So that is why we talked about dance. That is what the M88 prom is all about. It's the glory of God first. It's a whole lot of fun second. And it's a great way to minister to people third. I don't know if there's going to be any non-Christians there. I mean, it's a pretty Christian event. But if there are, they're going to see a whole different kind of party, the Holy Ghost party.
All right, so that's going to be this Friday night, this coming Friday night, May 4th, at the Albuquerque Convention Center. Again, tickets on sale for the M88 prom at Bibles Plus, Parchments, and Chronicles, also online at m88.org. Terry, thank you so much for joining me tonight. Not entirely sure what we're going to do next Sunday because I'll probably be really tired after the prom, but we'll see what we can cook up this week for next week on Raw Talk. Until then, thank you, everyone, for calling in tonight. Appreciate your opinion, as always, and have a shway evening in the Lord.